Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Everyone, this is Marvelous Smead. I am your host today on Some Marvelous Love, and I just want to say it is Friday, y'all. It is Friday. It's a beautiful day, nevertheless, but I'd like to start out by saying this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. Come rain or shine, it is a beautiful day, and it is. It's raining a little bit here in North Central Texas at the top of the hour. Wherever you are, you're probably on the East Coast. I hope that you're experiencing some really good weather as well. And on the West Coast, we know it never rains in Southern California. So I am so glad to be here today. I have an exciting show today. I have a young man by the name of Brad Calhoun that's going to be my guest today. And he is an incredible young man. He's got a story to tell, and I won't give it away, so we will hear from him in a little while. But, you know, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on. I also like to start off by announcing our superb woman of the day. It is Dion Aglin. Miss Dion was born and raised in Fort Worth. She graduated from Trimble Tech High School and pursued a career in radio, television, and film at the University of North Texas, where she also interned at KDFW, Fox 4, and became a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporation, a membership she has cherished to this day. She attends Saintsville Cathedral in Fort Worth and is celebrating a milestone year in television with stints in Tallahassee, Florida, and other stops in New Orleans, Sacramento, San Francisco, and San Antonio, before landing home, where she is loved and respected. Check Dion out at reportermom.com. That's reportermom.com. Toes what's on this aspiring author's mind. She tells what's on her mind. Dion is a wife, a mother of a class of 2021 college graduate, and a dog owner. She does the work that makes members of the National Association of Black Journalists proud, and her hometown toots her horn also. She's involved, she's engaged, and sincere. She's a consummate professional, and loved and respected by those in the industry. She encourages aspiring journalists to follow your goals and dreams. And that is so true. Congratulations, Mrs. Dion Aglin, for being our superb woman of the day. And that's Texas Metro News, Garland Journal, and iMessenger. And of course, the paper hit the streets on Thursday. And what a paper it is. We have right on the front page, big story. I was just thinking by veteran journalist Norma Adams Wade. She writes the story, A Life of Service, Diane Ragsdale retiring from ICDC, planning a different role. So pick up this paper. If you can't find it in your local convenience stores or restaurants around town, Black-owned restaurants, if you're on the South End, you can actually get it at South Dallas Cafe and several restaurants in that area. You can also get it on the North End of town at Smokey John's. And if you're right in Fair Park area, man, stop by Two Partners and pick up your paper. Of course, things have changed with COVID, but we are working with a lot of local restaurants throughout the city to carry our paper. And as you pick up your to-go orders, you can also pick up a Texas Metro News and Garland Journal as well. Now, also, if you would like to be on our e-blast list, we would love to have you on our e-blast list. All you need to do is put your email address and email it to editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. And send that to. And I will definitely put you on our e-blast list, and so you will be getting it in your inbox daily, and you will get all of the latest news, everything that's happening, and we sure do want to give you the news that you deserve here at Texas Punch News and our messenger. All right, now, highlights, and I want to talk about what you want to talk about. So if you have any questions to me or if there's anything you want to talk about, let's do that. Let me announce right quick here the 38th annual IU Bash. It is a drive-through edition, and it's happening on May the 15th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it's hosted by the Southern University Alumni Federation Dallas Chapter. Now, it is going to be at the African American Museum of Dallas, which, you know, is in Fair Park. The address is 3536 Grand Avenue, Dallas, Texas. And there's going to be crawfish, meat pies, fish, red beans. You know, it's going to be a Southern Bash. And so you don't want to miss that. And if you need any information, purchase your tickets. You can purchase them online at www.bayoubash38.eventbrite.com. So it's there on Eventbrite, so you can check that out as well. All right. Now, also, we would like to congratulate a Dallasite, Duncanville, as a matter of fact. Our sports editor, Dorothy Gentry, writes a story in the paper today. It is Duncanville, Texas A&M basketball standout looks to make waves in the WNBA, and that is Sierra Johnson. And so we want to congratulate Sierra Johnson. And now if you want to read all about that, you can visit our website. And our website is at www.texasmetronews.com. That's www.texasmetronews.com. All right. This weekend, a lot is going on. Dallas Arboretum is doing their Black Heritage Celebration, and that's actually going to be tomorrow, May 1st. And you could go check it out. It's going to host some really incredible people. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's at the Dallas Arboretum, and that's on Grand Avenue in Dallas, or Garland Road in Dallas. So check that out. That's happening tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tomorrow is Election Day. Let's make sure that we are voting tomorrow. There has been so many things in the news about voter suppression. And Texas is not the only place that is doing elections. Some are doing it in June and some in July as well. and these are municipal elections, and so that's your city council, your mayors, and there's propositions as well. So you want to make sure that you get out and vote, because we've heard stories about suppression. So what happened, the Republicans were really, you know, upset about the fact that they lost in Georgia and almost in Texas. And so what they have done is they are saying it is protecting the vote. That's what they are touting it off to, is that they are protecting the vote versus suppressing the vote. Because they are changing laws, they're changing the rules, and some of the crazy things we've heard has been you cannot have food in line. People can't walk up to you and bring you water while you wait in line to vote. You know, some things that just are unconstitutional as far as I'm concerned. So make sure you do that. We have a lot of people on the Dallas ballot. We have a lot of people throughout the city. As a matter of fact, Tanya Derrick is running for school board district 3 in Terrell, Texas, the Terrell, Texas ISD. So, I mean, that's just one person, but election day is open tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you're in that line, if you are in the line at 7 p.m. and you have not gotten in to vote, they cannot turn you away. That is for sure. So our NMPA Newswire contributor, her name is Victoria Burke, and she writes about the Attorney General Merrick Garland announced on the 27th that the U.S. Justice Department will investigate police in Louisville, Kentucky on March the 13th, 2020. 26-year-old EMT Breonna Taylor was fatally shot after three plainclothes members of the Louisville Metro Police Department entered her apartment searching for a male friend during a raid. Taylor had no involvement in the criminal activity. The three white officers, Jonathan Mattingly and Britt Hankins and Miles Cosgrove, forced and shot Taylor to death. The Justice Department will now investigate whether the department has carried out a pattern of civil rights abuses. In June, Louisville banned no-knock warrants under the legislation entitled Breonna's Law. And other states have passed similar laws too. So that's good to know. Don't you think that's good to know that the Department of Justice is looking into this, because it's time to make a change. It is definitely time to make a change. You know, I think we hear every few days about another black person being killed. Most recently was the young man that was in his car, in his driveway, with his hands on his steering wheel, and guns were drawn. They killed him, shot him in the back. You know, and he was just trying to comply and save his own life and not be shot, and that's the very thing that happened to him. Days before that, the 16-year-old girl was shot 4 times in the chest by a police officer because she had a knife in her hand. Now, there are some choices I think that need to be made here. I have been having this discussion about that 16-year-old for a few days now with family members and stuff like that. And I just think the police department has a choice. I think that the police department can definitely choose whether or not to use that taser or to use that gun, because he was away from her. The knife was not pointed at him. She was defending herself because girls had come to her home to fight her, and he pulls up because there's already two officers there de-escalating the situation, and he pulls up. He sees the knives. Immediately, he gets out, pow, 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 in the shed, and kills this young girl. And to me, he had a choice, right? He had a choice. He could choose to use that taser or do like the other officers and try to protect. But he's in his mind, I guess he thought that if he didn't kill her, she was going to kill the other girl. So he said he was protecting life. Well, you know, I am glad that there is somebody on that case down there. Attorney Ben Crump is on that. There's just so many other stories that have not been told, stories that may not make the paper, may not make national news. We may not hear about it, but, you know, like everybody says, you know, we have lives that deserve saving. You know, I heard that the officer that shot the girl said blue lives matter. Well, nobody ever said that blue lives did matter, but that knife was not pointed at him. So that's just my thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts. If you have a question, if you have a comment, let me know. Write it down here in the comments, and I would love to talk about it. Now, the fatal police shooting, her name was Makaya Bryant, a black teenager, was seen on video charging at two people with a knife, is a hot topic, and that it is. Say your name. That's right. Say everybody's name. You know, these black people that lost their lives, their names need to be said. They need to be heard, and we need to realize that nobody is saying that white lives don't matter or any other nationality's lives don't. We've been through it. For over 400 years, we've been going through it, you know, and it is amazing. So I just think that I think that we need to do something about it. I think we need to adhere to all public forums. If you want to talk about it, tell your city councilman. That's why this vote is right now is really, really important in the municipals throughout this country, throughout your cities. You have to know who your city council person is. You have to know who your mayor is. What does your mayor stand for? What does your city council stand for? Your school children, the children that are, in class being bullied or not getting the education, you need to know who's on the school board. Don't you want to know who's teaching your child and what is your child learning? And of course, there's been many stories throughout this last year of what has been going on. There's so many. There's so much that's going on. I remember back last summer, last spring, a kid was in class in his home and doing a Zoom, and there was a BB gun up against the door that another sibling of his had brought into the room where he was teaching and being taught, and he got up to move it. So in the video, it shows him moving that. The teacher blames him on having a weapon in his own home, which is against school policy, and the kid was expelled from school. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. As parents, we need to be on top of it. We definitely need to be on top of it. We need to be on top of it.
You said that three times.
Every day about what's going on in our schools, what our teachers, our students, we need to be on top of that. Come fall, I believe Texas will be back open up again. Schools will be back. So your children will not have a choice any longer to be in a virtual learning situation. They're going to be going to school.
Sorry about that.
My granddaughter, she just decided that she's looking forward to going back to school. You know, she spent the last year in virtual learning, but she wants to get back in school. She wants to be with her friends. And thank you, Cherry, for so much for just calling the name of these lost lives. Michael Brent, Charles Ramos, April 24, 2020 in Austin, Texas. Terrence Crutcher, September 16, 2016 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Patrick Glenn Warren Sr., January 10th, 2021 in Killeen, Texas. And Jordan Baker, 1988 to January 16th, 2014 in Houston, Texas. You know, I feel you, Terry. I feel you. I think we are all sick and tired of the loss of Black lives. We are. We are just sick and tired of the loss of Black lives because they mean a lot. Our lives mean a lot. We have children who've lost fathers and fathers who have lost children. It's too much. It really is. It is too much. And so do you know what your city police department is doing about that? Is there, you know, the defund theory, the defunding of the police department, that doesn't mean 911 is not going to work. That doesn't mean that at all. That just means that the resources are some of that money is taking for educating these police officers on how to de-escalate, to give people in the community the help that they need so they don't have to be. We've heard that marijuana now in North Central Texas is especially up there in Plano, where the young man lost his life sitting in the car, you know, and the police officer saw a joint and arrested him for that. So now that they've decided the law, that changed the law, so now it's just a ticket. So I don't know, who's the fear? Who's more afraid? The police officers that are in the city, or is it the people in the city afraid of the police officers? You know, they tell me that, you know, when you got that gun in your hand and you fire that first shot, you want to empty that clip. If I can imagine, one shot to that girl in the chest was enough to stop her from stabbing another human being if that was her intention. And he shot four times. So, it's, you know, it's just too much. It's too much. And we just have to be kind and think about one another. We really do. We need to think about one another. And so we're going to move on now to a little lighter subject. There is going to be the Crown Act. This is so cool. So there has been legislation posted by Retta Bowers, Texas representative for District 113. It is going to, it is about wearing your hair naturally, you know, wearing your curls, your natural hair. And so the bill has passed. And it's the Senate Bill 77. It has passed. And so there is going to be a celebration, and you would love for you to join this. It's for an informational session on the Crown Act featuring Retta Bowers, Texas Representative, District 113, and Tashara Parker, WFAA News Anchor. And this is going to be Tuesday, May the 4th, 2021 from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And you can register this virtual session by going to www.dstndsa.org. That's www.dstndsa.org. And be a part of that conversation. Dallas City Council approves violence interpreter contract, a key part of the mayor's public safety agenda. And this was from the mayor's office. And so it just kind of states the violence interpreters program is a key part of Mayor Eric Johnson's public safety agenda. The mayor's task force on safe communities recommended the program in its January 2020 report. In September of 2020, the city council voted to allocate $800,000 in funding to hire violence interpreters during the 2020 to 2021 fiscal year. So let's see, you know, how that helps our community. And, you know, but that is also in our newsletter. We would love for you to be on that newsletter. And again, if you just go to editor@texasmetronews.com, that's editor@texasmetronews.com, leave me your email address and we will put you on that list. Now, I hope you are vaccinated. If you have gotten your vaccine, good. If you haven't gotten your vaccine, you need to get your vaccine. Anybody 50 and older don't even need an appointment. Just go to parklandhospital.com/COVID and find out where there is a vaccine place and just go. Actually, you can go to Davis Ellis Field House at 9191 South Oak Street in Dallas. To get your vaccine. Now, if you are 16 and up to 50, you still need to register, and you also have to get an appointment. So please do that. But it's so important. The CDC just released a statement saying that if you are a senior, you are already vaccinated, it is possible that when you are outside, you know, at the park or wherever, outside, you don't have to have your mask on. I visited my doctor yesterday, and I told her that I was vaccinated. She said, that is really good. She told me, she said, but listen, you, when you're vaccinated, does not mean you still can't get COVID, but what it means is you won't get sick and have to end up in a hospital on a respirator. So it does protect you from against that. But so that's why it's still important that until we know this is behind us, and it's still not yet behind us, people still getting sick, people still coming down with coronavirus, hospital beds are still filling up. So we just need to keep that in mind and continue to practice social distancing. And when you're not around those people that you live with, and you're not outside, you need to have your mask on. You just do. When I went to the doctor's office, everybody, of course, when I got there at the doctor's office, the first thing I saw was a lady sitting at the door to take my temperature. And so, of course, it was fine. People at the front desk also, they have plastic up, so they're protected as well. So it's not only protecting you from them, it's protecting them from you as well. That's why it's really important to have that mask on. So, you know, do that. Really, really do that. There's going to be a nonprofit networking gala on May the 15th. Create, collaborate, celebrate. And that is going to be at the Kozier Hall at 2218 Bryan Street in Dallas. And that's from 5:50 p.m. So cocktail and business attire. So, you know, there's some things that we can celebrate. Revitalize South Dallas Coalition. They got so much going on. And we're so grateful for this information. The MLK Food Park is this weekend. It's today, Saturday, and Sunday. It's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday. It's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. And it's at the Martin Luther King Jr. Center, and that's at 1611 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Free food can be purchased. This is a pop-up business incubator that tests the South Dallas community's appetite for innovative food and entertainment options. So drop in for fun and camaraderie. So check that out. You can go to www.betterblock.org/MLK Food Park. Are you interested in real estate? Would you like to be on the boot camp? Well, today is the application deadline. Well, no, it's the application deadline for that is Monday, May the 3rd. It's free. Its topics are stages of development, players, market, site, and financial analysis, and project success. It's sponsored by the Real Estate Council. The virtual dates is going to be May 27th, June 3rd, June 8th, June 15th, and June 22nd. So contact Ms. Mims at 214-692-3604. That's Ms. Mims at 214-692-3604. If you are looking for a job, APAA, the Association of Persons by Addiction, at 3116 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Dallas is hiring a recovery support peer specialist and a mental health peer specialist. And the requirements are 18 years of age, GED, or 2 years lived experience in substance use and mental health, be in long-term recovery, valid driver's license, reliable transportation, and just contact the APAA at 214-634-2722. Join Restorative Farm Food Box memberships now to June. Restorative Farms, located in South Dallas on Syene Road, right next to the Dark Hatcher Station, wants you to join the CSA program, Community Supported Agriculture, where for $5 per week, you receive at your doorstep a box of fresh local produce that includes fresh eggs, herbs, decorative plants, and more. The money supports jobs, training, and farm reinvestment. Contact Robbie Frazier at 214-429-6260. Oh, wow. Those are some really good things for South Dallas area. Also, Pizza Fest. Do you love Pizza Fest? Last year it was canceled due to COVID, but this year they planned on having it on May the 15th from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Check out our website for more information on that. That's www.texasmetronews.com. All right. It's a lot. It's a lot going on. I'm anxious to hear more about what's going on. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
And don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love.
Great. If you haven't gotten
vaccine, really think about doing that. Because here's the thing, if you plan on doing any traveling via plane this summer, you've got to be vaccinated to get on that plane, period. Trains, and I'm not sure about buses, but that's, you know, that's what they're saying. So you want to just, you know, just cover yourself, make sure and do what you need to do to take care of you, you know, and your family. There's a lot of people have been vaccinated. There's still, the numbers are still coming in, but there's a lot of people that have been vaccinated. And let's hope Texas keeps up, you know. Let's hope Texas just keeps up and we all get to do that. All right. So now we're just going to move on to the next topic. I really love this article that Francois Booker Drew wrote in our paper this week, and it is called "What Is Your Love Language?" And that is just talking my language right there. So what is it that you share in love? What is your language? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it spiritual? Is it just words? You know, what is it you like to hear? And do you share what you like? I think you have to give it to get it. So if you are a loving person, you got to show that for it to come back to you. And so I love that, but I would love for you to check that out. All you have to do is go to our website at www.texasmetronews.com. And, I'm really excited about that. I'm just really excited about the knowledge that we have and what we can share with one another. So I want to hear what you have to say. I want to talk about what you want to talk about. So let's go on and keep it moving. Thank you, Terry. Folks are missing your column. Big Mama is the bomb, and we are missing her. So we want to see more from you. Thank you. So if you have any information that you want to give us or whatever, just go to our website and find out, or you can email me at editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. Now, I'm going to just give you, you know, a little highlight of who my guest, Brad Calhoun. Brad Calhoun is a graduate of the University of North Texas at Dallas with a BAAS in economics, entrepreneurship, and criminal justice. He has studied many different fields such as aviation, business, hospitality, human services, law, mechanics, psychology, sociology, and technology. He's also a U.S. Navy submarine veteran with a high aptitude for mechanical work. He said he might appear apprehensive, but he is a true grease monkey. Brad Calhoun says his life's goal is to put a complete end to Jim Crow era legislative powers, as well as to the systemic rule and implementation of Crow dominance across every systemic spectrum. Now that's a lot, so we're going to dive into that with him and find out a little bit more about that, because it's a lot of stuff that's going on, and we just see the things are changing. It's taking a while, but things are changing. You know, for instance, the Crown Act. I remember the time when cornrows, if you wanted to work in a professional field, in a profession, like even a secretary, you know, or you were in an office, you could not have cornrows. That was deemed not appropriate. well, I mean, this is our hair. This is our natural hair. This is what it does, and it's not all blonde and straight. So we should be able to have the wrap. We should be able to wear our hair, our natural hair, just like that.
By 10 columns.
You know, so I want, tend to that. Check that out. Join the Crown X, support the Crown X.
All of them. Okay.
Some of the other things too. I remember back when I first started in the beauty industry and I was in a nail salon. This salon owner, she would not allow employees to wear jeans. And it wasn't the fact that she didn't like jeans, but what she thought was people take things to a different level. Like, they may come in there, and this is before they were popular with ripped jeans, frayed jeans on the bottom, and then you're pairing it with a pair of tennis shoes. And so you just aren't looking very professional. And so, and I understand the professional look and what you should and should not do. I just think that that's, I think that's, you know, a part of life. You know, some people can get away with some things. And some people can't, you know. So you have to just own it. Just own it. I interviewed the coffee man. Now, the coffee man could wear anything he wants to when he is out doing his pop-ups, when he's making those frappuccinos and lemonades that people love. But guess what? He wears a bow tie, a nice white shirt, a black apron, and a cap. And he looks the part. He looks like he knows exactly what he's doing. And I think that is so important for us when we go out for something. We want to look the part. We want to be the best at it that we can be, you know, to be taken serious, you know. I just find it hard to take a person serious that is not groomed and professional in that, and it doesn't matter what it is. I can remember back when I was a teenager, and I learned how to shine shoes, you know, and I would go into my dad's shoe repair shop, and he had some shoe shine stands there, and I would shine shoes, and I came into the work with a suit on one day and shine shoes. And the customers loved that, loved the fact that I cared about what I looked like, because I was going to care about what his shoes looked like. So when I shined his shoes, they looked really good. So it's something that we carry inside of us, and it's something that we should all aspire to do and to be like. It's the best professional that we can be doing whatever it is that we do. And and you can describe it, you can write it, you can describe it, and you can brand it. So I really do like that. I like that thought. Now, I think we talked about it, but Election Day is tomorrow, so you do not want to miss that. You do not want to miss Election Day. You want to make sure you go to your precinct, wherever, in whatever city that you live in, and get your vote on. Don't let them stop. There's a lot. Don't do it. Don't let them stop.
Okay.
There are a lot of women that are running for office in the school district and in the city council in Fort Worth. Check that out. There are a lot of people running in Dallas County for city council. There's some around 50 people that are all competing for different offices, for different places in the city council here in Dallas County. So, and then, of course, we know that all surrounding counties also have that going on. So this is a really big election. This is a really, really big election for local municipalities. So please do that. Get your vote on and get out there and vote 7 to 7 tomorrow. all day tomorrow. Even if it's a little rain, it's not going to be that bad, you know. So let's do that. Let's just get that. So now we're going to go. I want to talk about mental health. I just think that is really important. Mental health, you know, there are some things that are happening in our lives. And sometimes at the time it's happening, we are so focused on getting out of it that we don't realize where we're coming up short. And then later on down the road, it shows up mentally, you know. Sometimes it even might show up physically. You know, we may start losing some hair, losing some weight, and go, what did this come from? And that mental health is due to that stress. And it could be post-traumatic syndrome. It could be, you know, a loss of a loved one. So to create hope reimagined for members of the DFW community, Community Care Counseling announces the grand opening of their mental health clinic. The clinic will offer an in-clinic and mobile care management option.
Are we going to do the 4x10 for 400? And then
the Community Care Counseling is excited to open the doors clinic on May the 6th in Dallas to provide a comprehensive mental health rehabilitation service to Medicaid recipients in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. This is great. The clinic will serve children, adolescents, and adults to advocate for the rights and needs of individuals with behavioral health challenges to promote the quality of life for community members. The grand opening will be held from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and the address is 8330 LBJ Freeway, Suite B870 in Dallas. That's 8330 LBJ Freeway, Suite B870 in Dallas. The grand opening will consist of door prizes, staff meet and greet, and a brief community care counseling presentation, and with emphasis on their mobile care management program, where they can deploy mental health professionals immediately on site when and where a mental health crisis occurs. That is great. Now, you need to RSVP this by going to K Johnson, that's K Johnson at CCCOFTexas.com, or you can call it 972-330-2188. That's 972-330-2128. So check that out. Now, you know, we were talking about that defunding the police officers, and there's an article that is in the Dallas Morning News. It was in the Dallas Morning News, how to defund the police. The perceptions drove a political wedge in upcoming Dallas City Council election. And so that's claims of the Dallas Police Department being defunded are playing prominently in mailers and voters ahead of Saturday's election. So you can, Texas Metro News has partnered with the Dallas Morning News, a collaboration. So you will see some of our stories in their paper, and you'll see some of their stories in our paper. So this story was written by Everton Bailey Jr., and he's talking about the Dallas City Council and defunding the police department. So you can check that out on our website, or you can go to Dallas Morning News. And here's a spotlight for things that are happening in our community, in the community calendar. And today is your submission deadline. If you want to do the 2021
Hey, Brenda, how are you?
Hi, I was just calling, checking on you. I hadn't talked to you in a minute, so I was calling, seeing how you were doing.
I'm doing well. How are you?
For any I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you.
Computer generated.
Well, we've been following you. I guess you haven't been following her. You've been busy.
I've been busy. A lot of people say you were doing live on Facebook.
At 1-4-9-2-2-8-8-8-5.
So that's today.
Doing my live, but thank you for following with me. And everything I just
hadn't
been on.
Yeah, well, we have
featured
you.
Once you contact me,
in the paper,
Deb, she will give you the information.
In the daily E-Blast is one of our superb women.
And that is being hosted, that is hosted by
and so I guess, but what are you out and about or something?
So,
something. I think it was within the last 2 days, and I said, well, I didn't get anything on it.
It's due to be released November 1st.
Okay.
To get more advertising on it. And then I had, you know, I did an event last weekend, a ball brunch over downtown. It was downtown, ball brunch. It was a second annual ball brunch where I found a vendor's table and, you know, to sell the books. So I've just been really trying to promote the book and everything.
Yeah, you should have let us know.
It was a, guess what, it was an overnight thing. They called, a girl called me on Saturday and asked me if I knew about the event, and I said no.
Well,
and they said, well, they have some vendor tables, and it's tomorrow. So I went ahead and got it, and I did pretty good. And I ended up meeting Vita Loca. I met Vita Loca about 10 years ago, and when we both saw each other, we just looked at each other like, don't I know you? And she's like, I know you, and I said, I know you, but I just can't place, you know, from where. And I said, well, what is your name? And when she said Vita Loca, I'm like, girl, you met me 10 years ago. You met me and my daughter when my daughter was rapping. I said we were at the radio station a lot when you and Smiley was together.
Oh,
so we ended up exchanging numbers there, and then I met another lady. Her name, they call her, oh, she called herself OG Chrissy, and she says she's a publicist and all that. Because I've been trying to find someone to get my Wikipedia set up. My IMDb is already set up, you know, with my different films and what have you on there.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, and I didn't know because I'm a SAG member, so they were sending me information and asked me why didn't I have my IMDb up. And so I had to put all that up. I said I wasn't really aware of it. So she's familiar with a lot of that. But I set up my own IMDb and added, you know, my different things to it. And I kind of posted it.
Okay.
But a lot of that stuff is so time consuming.
You know, at this time, you know, my progression, the systemic racism by this country, I believe that it would be most important.
Yeah, it's been a challenge. I'm a little old to have a 14-month-old, and she likes a lot of attention.
Oh, okay. I have an aunt in Tyler. She has a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old that she's raising, and she's what, 65? And you know, and she's having a hard time, but she'll be all right. She'll be all right.
Okay. Yeah, that is not what we want to hear. I'm telling you.
Hey, God, you're going to be all right. You
guys,
you gonna be
all right.
That baby needed somebody like you.
Yeah, well, there's some things I need too.
Now you just have to try to find you some balance. You know, to make it work without stressing yourself out.
I don't know.
Well. Because we don't want you to stress yourself out, man.
Yeah, that is definitely.
Yeah, because that's what I've been having to do is adjust my everyday schedule to try to make the things that fit for what I'm trying to do. And then, you know, not do for everybody else because my daughter, they think I should be available at the drop of a dime. And I said, it's really hard for me to do what I'm trying to do and then just stop doing that because you need me to do something else. You know, I can't continue to choose y'all over what I'm trying to do with myself and my career.
Well, that's where I was with what I've been doing, and then I get this baby, and I know the baby needs me and everything, but I was already exhausted and overworked and need, you know, I have people now trying to get me some help with after daycare and somebody else trying to
helped me with some volunteers here and everything, because I'm a little bit, you know, I am not 30 anymore. So I'm just working on it. I was trying to take a break anyway. And then I get her. And I don't have, you know, the help from her mom. My mom doesn't come and get her or anything. You know, I have an all-day meeting tomorrow, but I don't have anybody right now to keep her. So I have to work on that.
I'll be praying for you that you find, you know, a stable and a good environment where you can trust someone to watch after her while you continue to take care of your business.
Yeah, that's it. I have a few people who I told some more we've been giving to, like, people who bought clothes and different things by you. I know I have to get her a bed, but right now I didn't want to jump her into another bed because she's getting used to being there with us.
Okay.
But I'm glad you're doing well, and I got to get around to getting a book, and there's so much I have to get around to get it. But I've been in so much pain because of this.
Because
vaccine, and I had surgery.
You'll get better. I had referred, I don't know if the lady called you yet, but I had referred a black-owned business to you over here in Richardson. You know, I told her she needed to reach out to you, that you own papers and they needed to advertise their business in there. And it's called Nana's Catering, Nana's Kitchen Catering.
Where is it?
It's over, it's in Richardson, right off of Jupiter and Beltline, right on the corner of Jupiter and Beltline in Richardson. Is it Garland or Richardson? You know, one of them across the street is Garland and the other side is Richardson. I believe it's Richardson. Yeah, and their food is really, really good.
I don't think they like it.
They're originally from San Antonio. Somebody told me about it, and I went there a couple of times, you know, to see the consistency of how their cooking was. And it's really good. When I say really good, it's really good.
The state of Louisiana,
they don't have the clientele that, what's the restaurant I like over there? I was 67.
South Cafe?
Yeah, their food, to me, their food is just as good as theirs. But they're a smaller establishment. They only got a few chairs, so you would really want to do like a takeout. You know, you can call in. But they're really a really nice couple. Again, they're from San Antonio. You know me, I'm asking a lot of questions. And they're open Tuesday through Sunday. They're closing.
Well, I actually, right now I'm based on doctor, and because I had surgery last Friday, I'm not eating. What I did was I put some a can of corn and some butter and some sour cream in a blender and blended it up till it was like mush or soup or something, because I can't eat for like another week any solid foods.
You have a juicer or just a blender?
I have a juicer. I just haven't had time to do that.
Okay, yeah, because I like the juicer. I do the juicer quite a bit. I went and actually bought some beets and kale beets, kale, carrots, and apples.
That's well, Stuart. Stuart did all of that because I've been having like a smoothie every day that's of kale and all of that, so I could get things.
Well, yeah, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Until you do that, yeah, I have their information, and I even have one of their little menus, and I'll send you a menu on your text just to let you see for when later. You know, when you do fill up your car, trying to get something to eat, and if you come to the side. But yeah, I told them they were still trying to, you know, mingle and get to know people. So the only people know about your business mostly is over here in Garland and Richardson.
The way that I'm thinking.
You say most what now?
I was just telling her that she needed to get her business out there, let people know that they're there.
I don't have.
Right, definitely.
And I want to make
you know, and that's when I told her about your paper. You need to contact her about getting your business, you know, advertising in her paper.
We came here to live comfortably. So any other...
That's it. I'm going to head on back home before this rain come down again.
I don't know if you know about
just take care of yourself, and again, I'll keep you lifted up in prayer, honey, and you'll have a speedy recovery, and everything will work out with you and the baby.
Thank you so much, and we hopefully we'll get to see each other soon, okay?
Oh, yes, ma'am. But you said she's a little girl, right?
Yeah, she's a little girl, Skylar.
Skylar, that's a beautiful name.
And she's 14
months old.
Well, she just turned 15 months yesterday.
I
didn't even celebrate. I better.
I'm going to try to go through some of my granddaughter's things and see what we have left that we didn't give away.
Well, thanks for thinking of us.
That's how they find the way.
Okay, well, you get you some rest, Cheryl.
That's how they heal your
language. Yeah, I know that's hard for you to do.
It's
hard for me to do, but get you some rest, honey, so you can have a speedy healing.
Oh, God, yes. And you take care. And I hope to see you soon, okay?
Yes, ma'am, you will.
Okay, I love you.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
You know, Governor County, the document, an official document. If it has any mistakes, you know, speak to a
citizen. Wow. You're saying that the difference in a parish and a county is that you don't get proper documentation in owning the land.
Exactly. That's precisely what I'm saying. That's how they steal in our land. That's why black people don't own much of anything in Louisiana. Because they make it so difficult for you to get proper documentation of it. The document that they give you is not even the real document. They might have the real document, but they're not going to give it to you. So you might be signing off on a fake document. They can do whatever they want to with the real document because they know they're making those mistakes. They're making them on purpose. And I've actually addressed it when I was there. That's why I made them correct my document. And, you know, they didn't seem pleased about that. But I'm a little bit more observant than they might hope for me to be. So, and my writing skills, I'm pretty meticulous about my writing. You know, so if I do make a mistake in my writing, I will correct it, you know, once I find it, you know, and I tend to find it pretty easy. So it's just the thing of getting the state of Louisiana up to the speed of the rest of the country, at least as far as education goes, because if they make on these documents or, like, they shouldn't be there. Like, even, like, and some of the documents don't even have dates on it. Like, I have a document that is completely doctored, okay? And so this year, they sold my land. I had to buy my land back because they forged the document. My auntie, she passed last January, and she owned the land. And in 2018, she requested to have a name change because they spelled my grandmother's name. And she had them corrected in 2018, okay? And they say they sold it because he didn't pay the taxes for 2019, which is not true because I have a document that has a corrected form or the corrected name on it, but it says 2017. You can see how they kind of put it over another document and kind of stand it on to it. So, yeah, so basically they sold my land saying that taxes wasn't paid in 2019, but the document that they have, he didn't request the name change until 2018. So how would you have a document from 2017 with a correct name when she didn't request it until 2019, but the document with the correct name was there 2017 though? Like, those are, and a lot of people probably wouldn't catch that. But, like I said, I'm a little bit more observant as far as writing those and reading comprehension and stuff like that. And the way that education is taught in Louisiana, they purposely do the, they purposely teach that way to keep black people in a level of, in a level of not illiteracy per se. Yeah, ignorance. That's the word. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to go on a rant.
I just want to know, okay, so you want to make these changes. What are the changes that you want to make, and how are you going to make them?
Well, there are several ways that I can do it. There's a whole lot of ways I can do it. You know, one, I can just go to law school and get a law degree, you know, real quick. You know, because I do have the knowledge already. I just need to, you know, I'm studying, like, I've been studying the LSAT, you know, and I'm trying to decide whether I want to go ahead and take it. But I need lawyers. That's why I need lawyers with enough, who are brave enough to challenge the whole state in this matter, you know, because I challenge the parish, but the problem is not with the parish, it's with the whole group of parishes. And that whole state is the whole group of parishes. So that needs to be addressed. And for people who might think not, say, like, what if the jihad or the Muslims or any other type of religious, you know, entity came and they had their own state that they governed and they didn't have to stand accountable to anybody for the wrong that they're doing, you know? Like, a lot of people would have a problem with that, correct? Like, so, and one thing we learned over the past 4 years, especially when it comes to documentation and information, that if someone or if an outlet is constantly telling lies or making mistakes about the information that they're giving you, and you should, like as John Oliver said, you should stop trusting that source. And right now it's at a time where, like, we need to stop trusting in those parishes to do the right thing and handle business without the fraud and the criminal activity going on. Because what they're doing is criminal activity. Like, those are federal crimes that they're committing. You know, but that's a whole other issue. So
I'm not sure if you answered the question, but where do you stand now with the land, with your land? Are you getting it back, or did they make the corrections and give you your land back, or what?
Well, the part that I was actually the land that my grandmother owned, you know, that's the little part that I had to get back, because like I said, they sold it, and right now there was a whole other piece of home on part of the land. So, but they don't want to correct the documentation to actually add that into it, because it was part of the original plot. So basically they trying to, you know, cut the land into pieces, but it's a lot of land. So basically I had to get back the original piece of land, and now I have to worry about getting the rest of it. But it's gonna be a little challenge, because like I said, they wasn't happy when I corrected them and made them correct my documentation in the first place, and that was just a small part of it, because there's so much more to the documentation showing how they sold the land and split it up, and they sell it to people, and people are buying land thinking that they own the land, and then once they go to pay their taxes, they say, we sold that land, we got to buy it back from us. And they're going to charge you however much they wanted to charge you for that land. They're going to charge you, and you're going to have to pay for them filing those, like $100 and some dollars, $105 per page. So, and if they make mistakes, and you make them correct those mistakes, they're going to charge you again for correcting those mistakes and filing it again. So I shouldn't have to pay for your mistakes, the mistakes that you make. Okay, those are your mistakes. And that's what they've been doing since 1936, when, you know, Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act. And those tariffs, that's where it's all leading up to. That's how they steal for so much money, have all these resources into the Federal Reserve and Swiss banks and all kind of stuff. I've done my research. Like, and it's all with land that they've stolen from black people over there.
Okay, so now in 2021, if you lived in Louisiana and you went and bought a house,
mm-hmm.
and it sat on an acre of land, are you saying that they could take that from you?
If they want to, yes, pretty much. Basically, all that. Okay, so like the taxes are due every year on December 31st, but they don't mail that out the tax information until like February or March. So by that time, they could have already sold your land. And then when you try to pay the taxes, they'll say that they sold it in the tax sale the year before because behind on your taxes. Like, is that ridiculous? Like, they'll try to make up this stuff and tell you why they sold your land, but it don't make any sense. Like, they just basically make you buy your land again. Like, they make you repurchase your land every year, pretty much how they have it set up. And, you know, I guess to some people, it's a simple process, you know, as far as paying taxes and all that. But for a lot of other people, it's not quite as simple, because the people who don't have the resources, like those are the people who they charge more for these processes that they do. So basically, eventually, you know, people end up losing their land, and they give you 3 years to redeem it. But in that 3 years, they could have sold their land however many times they wanted to. And in that time, they're going to charge you however much they made off of their land already. They're going to charge you that much to get it back.
Right. So we're talking about acres, or are we just talking about a house in a community?
No, we're talking acres. Like,
okay.
I mean, you know, they have it in their clerk's office. Stuff that, like, some of the land they say more or less 40 acres, they'll give an amount of land, but they'll say more or less. So basically, that's not a specific number. So basically, it could be more, a whole lot more than 40 acres. But they just want, because that's that 40 acres in the mule thing. You know, if it's more than 40 acres, then they're just going to put 40 acres before this. So basically, it's more than 40 acres. And that's what they promised to us, but that's the dream that they sold us right there.
Oh,
they stole our land. They stole our land and then sold us 3 or 4 acres.
Oh, wow.
So now let me ask you about this. So now you don't live in Louisiana, so how are you going to affect change?
I don't live there yet, but now that I have, you know, my little, my root land, my root piece of property, you know, where I'm part of it anyway, because like I said, there's a trailer on the land that's not supposed to be there. Like, I'm working on this too, but that's something, that's a whole other story I'm working on. But I do plan on moving out there. Because like I said, banks don't own much of nothing out there. You know, I have resources, you know, that I would like to get out there. Like, I would like to start a public, like open a public center and do similar to what you're doing. I like to do my research and be a family. You know, and I do have a little bit of experience, so I do use the knowledge that I've learned to strategize and move forward to a way that these things, they seem to work out, because I'm taking my time and I'm doing it correctly.
Well, that's not the way it goes.
So,
okay.
You know,
all right,
I could maybe open up a studio out there, and then, you know, I'll have you on my show one day. Like, these, and you know, it's black business. Like, in the Franklin Parish, it's like almost like black business. You know, it's like normal stuff, like food stores, the clothes stores, maybe it's the bar shop here and there. But, like, as far as pharmacies and grocery stores and cleaners and different businesses, you know, that move a community. You know, as black people don't really own much of that out there. And I want to go out there and open up something of significant value. And it's kind of like I want to bring the people in Louisiana up to see this practice. They've been held back for so long and so atrociously. It's ridiculous. I'm really just not. I'm not feeling the notion that they have to continue to suffer this type of oppression. And I'm going to speak out about it, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do as much as I can, and I will do it to the best of my ability. So I don't know if they're going out there and becoming the mayor or something, or taking on sheriff. Taking his fight, because he's criminal. You know, he's like,
I was
going to
ask you, have you had any political aspirations?
Oh, yeah. I've always been a political person. You know, I believe, you know, due to my experiences, like as far as military and stuff goes, I kind of became accustomed to more silent service. Like, I serve, but I want to do it silently, you know, but at some point, it calls for acknowledgement, but like for some reason, you know, I probably would have to just step outside of my comfort zone and, you know, become popular or famous or like allowing people to know who I am, you know, like, but I don't want to be famous, you know, so that's kind of the thing that they kind of, I'm a homebody, I guess. I have a turtle, and I take care of my turtle. And they're symbolic.
So what are you doing here in Texas, and politically, how are you spreading the word and sharing with others what changes that we need to be making here? Are you in anything like that? What are you doing?
Well, I haven't been with any organizations. I've talked to a few of them, you know, but at the same time, I'm trying to build my own. I just had a nonprofit certified with the county, and I have to get a tax identification number for it. So I'm working on it as well. You know, I got to call the IRS and wait on the phone for them. And like, I have plenty of stuff. Like I said, I'm very busy. I'm never bored. You know, I have plenty of stuff to do.
So what is your foundation going to be about?
I mean, it's all on the drawing board right now. There's so many things that we need to address, but like I want to consolidate it and start somewhere, because you have to start somewhere. And I'm trying to figure out where this nonprofit is going to start to address it, but essentially taking down those parents, like, and get some proper credit, you know, some proper documentation, putting the parts back in history that they can take from their records.
So you know that there's still talk in the city, I mean in the Senate and the government, about reparations. So what are your thoughts on reparations? Should Black people be afforded reparations?
Yes. I'm not sure exactly how this gonna work, but they've done it for everybody else. The reparations that are owed to us is so massive, you know, it's going to take a whole lot of implementation. And I think the way things are moving, as far as logistically with it, with the coronavirus and all that, how we're moving logistically and the things, the projects that we're seeing with logistics, I think it's a matter of time. It's going to happen soon. But you know, has come with comprehensive, you know, plans, comprehensive legislation on how to do this, because it's not going to be an easy task. Mm. You know.
Wow, that is really interesting. So, coronavirus, how has that affected the things that you want to do?
Actually, it kind of gave me a little bit of wiggle room, because I was already living quarantine style, you know, before the pandemic. You know, all I do is work. You know, go home, go to stop paper, you know, and, you know, I'm at home, you know, doing research, or, you know, I might play my PlayStation or watch YouTube every now and then, but when the pandemic hit, it kind of gave me a little bit of wiggle room to do things that I needed to give attention to, such as getting back my language. I knew, like, if they were, they were trying to take my land, but it wasn't mine at that time. It was my aunt's land, you know, in January last year. And it was like right before, it was before the pandemic. And I don't think she was going back anyway, so thought she was the right thing to do.
So let me ask you, how many was in the family? Are you the last of the family?
I'm the youngest in the family. I'm my grandmother's youngest grandchild. So, and I'm the last one that she took care of before she started, you know, aging, you know. And I was, you know, I came along, she was already in her 70s, you know, when I came along. And when she found out my mother was pregnant, she started a nonprofit, you know, when she found out my mother was about to get married at that time, she started a nonprofit. So, well, I don't know what it was called then, but now it's in Carroll County for AIDS. And basically, it's a resource for information and other resources for the elderly population and how to keep them, and how to teach them talk, how to keep them talk. And so when I was born, same my grandmother did, and my grandbaby. So, for the first 4 years of my life, and every summer until I was 12, I was there, you know, in that area, on that piece of land. And I know the story behind it. And the records show, you know, another lady, I knew her. You know, she was my grandmother's best friend. And my grandmother leased out a part of her land to her best friend. And they built a house right there next door. So every morning, I was at this lady's house. And I knew the people on the other side, and they're all gone now, you know? And I was probably one of the youngest people to actually still remember or know of those people, or the people who do remember them, like, I don't think that they consider them, look at the documentation and try to, you know, do things the correct way as far as the documentation is self-explaining. But, like I said, it's a long, complex story, and I've been digging into it for the longest, like, with the pandemic. As far as when I was working in the warehouse, and it was more of a political move for me, because when the pandemic first started, you know, the person who was running the country at that time downplayed it in a dangerous way. And working in the size warehouse that I worked in, I went from having one alert to 4 or 5 alerts per day. You know, and so at this time, he's talking about, oh, we're going to pack out all of the churches for Easter and all of this stuff. And it's people dying by the thousands at this point, you know, and he's talking about, we're going to pack out the churches. And I go to work, and all I'm doing is packing out Easter clothes and Easter eggs and all this stuff for Easter for people to pack out churches. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't do this. You know what I'm saying? That's sick. I couldn't be responsible for my hands and causing that many people to die because of me.
Let me ask you another question, Brad. So people of uh-huh. your age, your generation of people, how do y'all feel about this vaccine? Do you feel like you should have the vaccine or not have the vaccine?
Yes, I do. I'm already vaccinated. And I would rather have it than not have it, you know, especially with the different variants. And I've studied virology or viruses, you know, and pandemiology. I studied it in high school. You know, I was young at that time, but I was going through things in my head, and I needed a way to escape that. So I used to go in the library, all type of stuff, you know. But I know I've been studying HIV since the 7th grade, so I'm very well versed on how HIV works as a virus, and in that I learned what viruses are and how they work. And around March, you know, last March, sometime around this time, I was on Twitter and, you know, on social media, and I was telling them, look, man, we got to isolate this virus before it starts spreading, because if it starts spreading, then it's going to mutate and it's going to become more efficient and it's doing whatever it's doing right now. It's killing people. I was telling them that last month. And lo and behold, you know, things got...
How are you encouraging people in your generation to get vaccinated?
I'm just telling them straight up. Like, you know, it's a pretty common subject nowadays. So, you know, if I'm ever in situations, you know, or around people talking about it, I do my part, and I always say, you know, in the favor of having the vaccine rather than walking around out here without it and possibly catching one of those variants that you may not be able to fight off. You know, we most of us, you know, we're vaccinated. See, freedom is one thing, it's okay to wear a mask, you know, to protect yourself and other people. Like, that should be a natural inclination. To a person, you know, if you're a person, you have a heart, or you even have a little bit of sense, you know, that's a common thing, that if it's a virus that's killing people, that you want to be protected from it. So all this talk about, you know, the vaccine, all the conspiracy theories, and I pretty much spoke out of it since against racism. So that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, on some social media sites, you know, I'm not allowed to, you know, comment or post because,
well,
you know, I see that I can be quite frank. And
I'm glad that you are, and I think that it's important. I think that it's very important that as young people, we hear you, that you have something to say and we hear you, and to encourage other young people. But Brad, I am having a good time talking to you and listening to what you have to say. I want you to come back. This will be an ongoing thing with us, and we want to continue to follow you and find out how things are going for you. So thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. And I invite you to come back anytime and see where you are and how things are progressing.
Okay, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a camera guy, but I'm not. I'm more of a face-to-face person, but, you know, the pandemic and stuff has pushed it to this, but I'm kind of in my comfort zone, so I'm fine. You know?
All right.
So, all right,
well,
I'm glad you had y'all, and I enjoyed the conversation, and I'm hoping we can continue and grow as a nation, as a people, number one. You know, and I'll leave with this. I've said it to many people before, you know, like, you know, the barbershop talk, and, you know, when people are talking, and I say it like this. Yes. Black on black crime, you know, whatever that is, you know, it's a thing, but we're going to address that, but right now we're going to address what they're doing to us, you know, systematically. You know, the police brutality and the murdering that they're doing to us, and all these hillbillies running around here murdering people like crazy. Like, that's what we're going to address.
She wants
for no fault of our own.
The leaderboard type.
Once we address that and we get that taken care of, then we can start addressing the black on black crime, the black people not working together and all that. Right now, we
this thing right here.
The more urgent issues.
3 inches
which
wide.
Is police brutality.
Right there, 3 inches wide.
Basically,
by 1.5
eradicators. Estimate our population.
That's
like, last year, when the protest, you know, a lot of people, they still want to call the
fight.
You know, the cop was talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to start slaughtering them, you know, set them back to the generation. That's the type of stuff that we address. Like, we're addressing that primarily.
This is that piece of
We will continue in this fight together by getting the news out so that people know what's going on. And we thank you for that. And enjoy your weekend. You know, and thanks again. And I appreciate you.
All right. And thank you.
All right. All right. Have a good evening. A great week. Okay. All right. All right, guys. That was a young man by the name of Brad Calhoun, if you just tuned in late. And he has a story to tell. And he was talking about some things that I really did not know, that the differences in parishes and counties in Texas and Louisiana. How they just take that and he said, oh, December 31st. No, that's tax bill is due. But yet they don't bill you until January or February. And then all of a sudden you go in to pay your taxes. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the breaking news that happened in South Dallas a couple of days ago. Thieves broke into Black Jack Pizza in sunny South Dallas, right there on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I went in yesterday. I went down there yesterday, and I spoke with the owner, Dorothy Jones, and I also spoke with Terry Jones, and we sat and had a really great conversation. And they have been in that community 33-plus years, right there on that corner, serving food for the community, and it's really good food. And Dorothy Jones is a community person, an activist.
She
has fed so many people.
Really,
and so for them, somebody to break into that place
this,
at 2 o'clock in the morning. And let me tell you, Terry said the reason why it was 2 o'clock, they knew it was 2 o'clock in the morning when it happened, is because there was a clock up above the door that was battery operated, and the clock, as they when they broke into the front door, the clock failed, battery came out, and it stopped at 2:15 as a clock. So during that time, also Wednesday night, it was a storm, a bad storm, you know. And he didn't get anything. They didn't get anything. There was nothing. They didn't steal the food. They didn't steal. She's known for her tea. They didn't steal the tea. They just took some coins out of the register. So, I mean, and I talked to Terry and I asked him, what is going on in that community? He said, we find in our community that when the people that have mental health issues and stuff, when they get out of mental health, the hospital and stuff, guess where they take them? They drop them off in that community. So there's a lot of transients in the community. A lot of people that don't belong, don't know that community. And that's where they get dropped off at. So there's a lot of people in there that not belong. They're not dropping them off up there in North Dallas. They're dropping them off right there on Martin Luther King Boulevard. It's like, fend for yourself now. And so you're dealing with a lot of mental issues. You're dealing with a lot of drug addiction. And it's just crazy down there. It's just really crazy. But I encourage you, if you're listening, to go and support Jack Pizza, a place that has been in the community for over 33 years, that supports the community, that gives back on a regular basis. Ms. Dorothy Jones gives back to that community on a regular basis. And she had to replace her door, replace the glass, and everything. And they got nothing, but cost them a lot. So go support. Get your burger. Get your pizza. And definitely get your tea. And the number 214-565-1025. That's 214-565-1025. And I was so proud to see it. They were open for business. They didn't let it stop them. They didn't let it destroy them. They were still open for business, serving the community on yesterday. And what a great thing that was. That was really great to see. People were coming in and out as I was there interviewing them. And it was great. I got myself some pizza. It was delicious. And, of course, the tea, I just savor the taste. My mouth is watering now just thinking about it. Wow, y'all, this has been a great show today. We have covered some of everything. We have covered what's going on in the community. It is, we've covered a lot. And for you to keep up with the daily news, we encourage you to get on our daily e-blast list. Now, all you have to do is go to editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. And leave your email address, your name and email address, and we will put you on the list to get it in your inbox every morning, and you will be caught up with everything that is going on. Again, we talked about the vaccines and how important it was. Even Brad was able to
kind of share his generation and what people are thinking, and he encourages everyone to get that vaccine. And so we talked about the elections. Tomorrow is election day. May 1st is election day, and so wherever your precinct is, please get out and vote. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so go out and vote. Go out and get your vote on. We talked about some good things that are happening, too, but we encourage you to check out our community calendar that's in the paper. If you don't get the paper, you can also go on the website. It is there for you on the website at www.texasmetronews.com. That's www.texasmetronews.com. And if you are wondering how we do what we do, we are a multimedia, and we are blog talk. We are live videos. We have a digital paper that comes out on Fridays on Messenger. We have Garland Journal, comes out the first and the third of every Thursday of the month. And then we have Texas Metro News that comes out every Thursday. So, and we have blog talk shows. So we have a daily newsletter. So we are there. We are at events throughout the city. We are at press conferences throughout the city. This is how we do what we do. We keep our ear to the ground. We know, have a pulse for our community and for your community. So I would love to have you as a guest on Marvel with Love. If you are interested, you want, I want to talk about what you want to talk about, just email me at editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. With your name and contact information, and we can work that out. We can definitely work that out. Again, we want to congratulate our woman of our superb woman of the day is Aglin. Congratulations, and tune in as our shows are on Tuesday. We have the Jarvis Nicole Show from 11:30 to 1:30. We have Dr. Shep at 11 a.m. On Wednesdays, we have Norma Adams Slade, I Was Just Thinking, from 11 to 1. On Thursdays, we have Cheryl's World Surprise from 11 to 1. We have on Fridays from Marvel with Love from 11 to 1. And on Saturdays, we have Cheryl's World Surprise, where we're having a co-host, Deborah Brown Stern, from 12 to 2 on Saturdays. And then on Sundays, we have Andrew Wiggum, The World According to Drew, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. So you can join us on blogtalkradio.com, or you can join us live right here on our Texas Metro News Facebook page. And again, I thank you for tuning in today. And we are now about to...
No, you ain't.
We're going to...
No, you ain't.
Thank you. And I sure do appreciate you for tuning in today. So come back next Friday, same place, same time, and
who's your guest?
We want to talk about here on Marvel with Love, and so we are going to play out a song.
You shouldn't have done that. You're not producing. You shouldn't have done that.
Cue that song up, and I will see you on next Friday. Have a great weekend, and don't forget to vote.
Okay, I ain't producing no more since you gonna produce. See what she did to me?
let them fall by the side of the road in pieces to love one another.